Welcome to the autumn edition of the Congregationalist. Your readers today are Jean Kernican, Fred Johnson, and I, Pauline Fenton. Darren Thompson is at the recording controls. Darren's wife, Rhoda, presented him with a bouncing baby boy at the end of July, so you'll understand if there are a few hiccups here and there. Congratulations to Jacob's dad and mum.
The Reverend Paul Dowling is the minister of White Abbey Church. At the annual assembly meetings in May, he was inducted as chairman of the Congregational Union of Ireland. The following is a summary of the address he gave on that occasion. Joshua, Lessons of Leadership. They had been in Egypt nearly 400 years, and they had suffered. Indeed, at one time, Pharaoh had ordered that all Hebrew male young be cast into the Nile. They had suffered, and still were suffering. Then, one day in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, into the tribe of Ephraim, a little boy was born. He was born in blood, sweat and tears, born as a slave in Egypt. Nevertheless, his parents named him Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. As he grew, he learned many things about leadership, some of which are especially applicable to us today. The first thing he learned was that God's servants can be a long time in training for leadership. In Exodus 24, verse 13, it is the first time that Joshua is officially called Moses' minister. Moses became Joshua's mentor before the law was given on Mount Sinai. However, Joshua did not fill the position which God had intended for him until just before the Hebrews crossed the Jordan, 40 years later. Imagine today if ministers took 40 years at Bible college for a pastoral diploma. Joshua was trained by God, through a man of God, for God. He was well trained in his obedience. Nowhere do we find any reference of Joshua disobeying Moses. Aristotle said, "He who has never learnt to obey cannot be a good commander." Secondly, God's servants are not indispensable. In Joshua 1 verse 2, we read that Moses, the great man of God, is dead. He who forsook Egypt spent 40 years in the wilderness and then saw God in the burning bush. Moses, who had confronted Pharaoh, and through him God brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt. Moses, who led the Hebrews out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. When Sinai quaked and burned in the presence of God, it was Moses who climbed up to meet God and received the law. Moses was the meekest man on earth, and yet he knew God face to face. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, we read that before Moses' sight had failed, and before his vitality of life had abated, God comes to Joshua and tells him, "Moses, my servant, is dead." You see, no matter how great the servants of God are, they are not indispensable. Moses dies here because in Deuteronomy 32:49-52, he trespassed, broke faith, and he sanctified me not. He did not treat God as holy. Moses had disobeyed God once. He was told to speak to the rock to bring forth water, but instead Moses struck the rock twice with his staff. The price for this was that Moses would never enter the promised land. God replaced Moses for his disobedience. Yes, God will continue to work his purposes out, but no matter how great his servants are, they are not indispensable. It is sad when God's servants disobey him, and God takes them out of the picture. Moses had led Israel for over 40 years. He was the people's intercessor. They had grumbled against him many times, but then they grew to love him. After God took him from them, they mourned 40 days. The third point that the Reverend Dowling brought out was that God's servants must obey God's commands, and God will be with them. "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan," verse 2. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee," verse 5. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law," verse 7. The presence of God follows obedience to God. "Arise, go over this Jordan." On the verge of the promised land and fulfilment of God's covenant promises, God was in essence saying, I'm going to take you where you've never been before. The Hebrew people had been waiting for this moment since God had called Abraham and promised him the land over 700 years ago. They had waited so long, and I'm sure at times they wondered if they would ever make it. Now the time had come, and they obeyed and entered the new land, a new era under a new leader. Who was responsible? Joshua? Joshua had to fill the shoes of Moses, a midget in a giant's shoes. Finally, don't underestimate God's old men. Moses started his great works when he was 80 and died when he was 120. Joshua started his good work when he was 70 to 80 and died at 110. Caleb, in Numbers 13 verse 33, was 40 when he first spied Canaan, and Moses promised him Kadesh Barnea. What do we read of in Joshua 14:6-13? We read that 45 years later, when Caleb is 85, he and his sons go up to the mountain and take it, killing the giants in their midst. These were the same giants that 2 million people had been afraid of and are now defeated by an old man and his sons, because you don't underestimate God's old men. To summarise, we can say that lessons in leadership sometimes can be a long time in training. We are not indispensable. There are people today that are nowhere with God. They are back in the world. They have been set aside because they have fallen. Many leaders are drawn away because of immorality, drugs, alcohol, some through materialism or craving after position. Each person has a different weakness, so we must be careful. We must learn that if we fall into a life of sin, God will set us aside, but his work will continue without us. Thirdly, we must obey God's word and know that he is with us. Obedience brings blessing and God's presence. We are on the verge of a new era in our lives, called to the service of God. We have never been this way before, but God is with us. Finally, don't underestimate God's old men. Joshua was born a slave in Egypt, but he finished a free man in the Promised Land. We are born slaves to sin and are now free through Jesus Christ, and we too will finish in the Promised Land in God's presence. Let us learn God's lessons, for it will not be long before our work is done. These are the four lessons in leadership learned by Joshua.
Meet our missionaries. Michael and Joy Ferguson are members of Conesbrook Congregational Church. They wrote to tell us the following. We have been praying about serving God in North Africa for several years and have seen God's faithfulness in leading us along this path. With our son Sam, we have started a Christian language school in France where we plan to stay for 7 to 10 months. This will be an intensive period of language study, and we hope to get to an appropriate level as quickly as possible, by God's grace of course. Afterwards, we plan to live amongst a Muslim people group who have had very little opportunity to hear about our Saviour. We have had several trips into this area before, as Joy worked as a physiotherapist there for 9 months before our marriage. We hope to return to work with the same church planting team, which runs a physiotherapy centre for children with disabilities in the area. We can see how the experience God has given us in our working lives so far has been good preparation for the work we hope to be involved with in the centre. The centre was set up to help children with disabilities and their families, many of whom have no therapy or support of any kind. Through God's faithfulness, it has brought much blessing into the lives of these families and opportunities to show God's love in words and action. We are thankful to have the opportunity to live in this community again and share the wonderful hope that we have with those around us. Please pray for us as we settle into a new culture and seek to progress in language as soon as possible. Please also pray that our families, as they adjust to life without us, especially Sam. If you would like to know more detailed information, please contact our minister, the Reverend Charlie Collins, at Conesbrook Avenue Congregational Church.
Church Focus, Albert Bridge. The final installment of the Albert Bridge story, kindly written for us by Mrs. Betty Porter, introduces the Reverend Kenneth Findlay, under whose ministry the beautiful church that we know today replaced the old, familiar Albert Bridge. Betty continues, The Reverend Malcolmson stayed with us for 4 years, followed by the Reverend Kenneth Finlay, who came to us from Ballycraigie Congregational Church in 1982. He was inducted on the 25th of September, one of the saddest days in the life of our church. The induction was an inspiring service, and the Reverend Sam Workman gave the charge to the minister. This was followed by a reception in the church hall, but at the end of the meeting, one of our young ladies, Karen McCone, was shot just outside the door. She died in hospital 3 weeks later. One of Mr. Finlay's saddest duties was to conduct her funeral service in a church which was packed to the doors. By this time, we knew we were going to lose our church building, and plans were being made for our new church. The Reverend Workman conducted a mission in March 1983 to bring to a conclusion our worshipping on Short Strand. Mr. Finlay then supervised the fixing of our hall to act as a church until the new one was built. However, the building firm beside us was bombed, and just a few months before we moved, we had to hold our services in the hall of Willowfield Church of Ireland. As well as preaching on Sunday, visiting the hospitals and the old folk, Mr. Finlay had the enormous task of leading the committee in all the planning and supervising of the new church, while still facing the uncertainty of the troubles. Unfortunately, during this time, our mission hall had to go, as all the houses in this area were being knocked down. That was another sad day, but part of our new church is actually built where Malcolm Lane Mission was. The great day came in October 1985 when the new church was officially opened by Mrs. Finlay. The Reverend Finlay presided over a packed congregation, and the Reverend Campbell returned to preach the address. We were going again. For the next 7 years, Mr. Finlay served our congregation with great dedication and love, and we were vexed when he had a heart attack in the summer of 1992. While he was convalescing, Mr. Wesley Ellis was appointed as temporary pastor. He had just completed a 3-year course at Belfast Bible College in preparation for service for the Lord in Pakistan. The Reverend Finlay decided to retire, as unfortunately he needed to have a heart operation. We were all so sorry that such a long and fruitful ministry had to end, but we wished him every blessing for the future. Mr. Ellis stayed with us until 1994, and he was ordained in our church before leaving for Pakistan. Our next minister came to us from Donegal Street Congregational Church, Belfast, where he had been a part-time minister for 3 years. The Reverend Brian Anderson had grown up in Donegal Street and was known to some of us from boyhood. We were delighted to have him, especially as Donegal Street is the mother church of Albert Bridge. His induction service was on the 24th of September, and he and his wife Heather brought a breath of youth to our church. He was a very popular minister, and young and old were very fond of him. He visited all the organizations and was really loved in the Brownies. The older folk looked forward to his visits, when his wife would often accompany him. Heather was a great cook, so our socials and parties were wonderful when she was in charge. He made friends with all the ministers of the district, and while he was with us, we had a united carol service with all our neighbouring churches. He was an inspiring preacher and in great demand around the district. Alas, he, like the ministers before him, was very frustrated with the lack of contact with all the newly built houses around us. Everything was tried, and yet, while the children came to our organisations, none of the parents joined us except on very special occasions. We were all so sorry when the Reverend Anderson accepted a call to a congregational church in Florida. He is now the senior pastor in Sun City Congregational Church in Nevada. Once again we faced a long vacancy, but this time we were fortunate to have the Reverend Harry Monroe from Australia to keep the church ticking over. Harry was one of our old boys who emigrated to Australia and then studied for the ministry. He was home to visit his parents on a sabbatical for a year and was willing to work part-time for us, which eased the burden on the secondary and deacons. His time with us was very blessed. he was able to bring us a different aspect of religion, telling us how worship was conducted in Australia and in many countries he had visited. Reverend Robert McAvoy was inducted as minister of our church in September 2002. He came to us from the Elam Church in Randallstown, although his grandmother and aunt had belonged to our church. We welcomed his wife and two grown-up children, Naomi and Timothy. Our church was now hitting a very bad patch, and in the first year of his ministry, the Reverend McAvoy had around 50 deaths, almost one every week. Mr. McAvoy was a great teacher, and his sermons were interesting and inspiring. He had a thorough knowledge of Bible history and of Congregationalism in Ireland. During his ministry, we sang at Conswater Shopping Centre at Christmas, and he had the bright idea of printing Christmas cards with information about the church to hand out to the folk who were passing through. We also started our holiday Bible week again, and a railway club, that's R-E-A-L, a railway club for primary school children. Unfortunately, during his time with us, he suffered from ill health, and we were sorry when he felt he had to resign in June 2009. We were also very sorry to lose Jeanette, who had been a great friend to many of us. Mr. David English joined us in July 2008 as assistant minister after Stephen Hanna left us. We were very fortunate that we had him, for now he is doing all the visiting, funerals, etc. He is also preaching. His ordination took place on the 25th of October, when the Reverend George Spears from Balnahinch Congregational Church preached. The church is vacant again, and we wonder what the future will bring. We pray earnestly that somewhere God has the man for us, and in the meantime we say a big thank you to the Reverend David English and to all the ministers and friends in the Union who are helping us Sunday by Sunday.
Women's World. Linda Collins is the wife of the Reverend Charles Collins, minister of Consbrook Avenue Congregational Church, Belfast. She and Charles came to minister in Consbrook in the summer of 2008. Thank you, Lydia, for sharing your story with our readers and listeners. I grew up in East Belfast, and having been brought up in a Christian family, even as a small child, I had a belief in God. I made a profession of faith when I was 11, but as a teenager, I turned away from Christian things and scarcely considered God at that time. I was, however, very reluctant to say that I didn't believe, and I think in my heart that I always knew that God was real and that I was not living a life that pleased him. I began to realise my lack of purpose in life, and when I was 16, I went on a weekend conference with the Ecre Gospel Mission, and it was here that God challenged me about my faith. I remember listening to the missionary speaking and realising that God was real and at work in the world, and that I had turned my back on him. Having a real sense of my own sinfulness and unworthiness before God, I recommitted my life to him during that weekend and began to live my Christian life in earnest from that time. I became involved in a local Baptist church, teaching in Sunday school, helping in the children's work, and it was there that I built up in my faith. Everyone in the church and in the young people's group was a great blessing and encouragement to me. At the time, I was working in the civil service, and as time went on, I believed that God was leading me into Christian work of some sort and that I should undertake some Bible college training. I remember feeling very inadequate for service in the Lord's work, but being challenged and encouraged by 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 28, where Paul reminds the believers that not many wise, powerful or noble people are called to serve God, but that he chooses the foolish, to shame the wise and the weak, to shame the strong. And so, at the age of 23, I left Belfast for Berwick-upon-Tweed to study at the then Lebanon Missionary Bible College. I spent 3 years there, during which time I met and married Charlie, an Englishman from Bedfordshire. After finishing college, we moved just over the border into Scotland to work with a little church in the fishing village of Eyemouth. We spent 3 years there, and Emily and Ben, our first two children, were born during that time. By this stage, we believed that God was calling Charlie into the ministry, and so we left Scotland for Belfast, so that Charlie could study at the Irish Baptist College. Tom, our youngest, was born while we lived in Belfast, and he was just 3 years old when we moved back over the water, this time to England, to a small church in Kettering, Northamptonshire. Charlie pastored the church for 9 years and spent a further 5 years working in Kettering while I studied at university. This was an interesting time for us as we sought God's guidance for the future, and while God opened up many opportunities for us to witness for him in secular employment and university, we both believed that it was God's will for him to return to the ministry. In the providence of God, we were led to the Conisbrook Avenue Church in Belfast, where Charlie was inducted as minister in June 2008. Emily and Ben remained in England, Emily to work in Kettering and Ben to start university in Sheffield, so only Tom moved with us. We are very much settled into the life and work of the church and thank God for his leading and for the opportunity to serve him among such a warm fellowship of people. We look back at our lives and often marvel at how God works things out and how very different his plans have been to ours at times. I have recently been challenged by the verse, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," and the fact that meekness is strength of character, not weakness as is often thought. It actually means to be submissive to God. In other words, to accept God's will and what he has planned for us. That is not always easy, but it is good to remind ourselves that God is in control and that he knows what is best for us. I praise God that he saved me at a young age and that my life has been continually in his hands. I can be assured also that he will guide me in the future. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future."
The Annual Ladies' Federation Rally. After a warm welcome by our president, Mrs. Beth Montgomery, the Young People's Praise Group very ably led us in the singing of "Crown Him with Many Crowns." It was our annual Women's Federation rally on Thursday the 20th of May. Mrs. Hilda Lyons led us in prayer, followed by the roll call conducted by Mrs. Ella Holmes and the scripture reading from Isaiah 40 by Mrs. Jackie Bradley. 24 churches were represented and some ladies had even travelled from Raphoe, County Donegal. Our president then introduced Mrs. Barbara Neal from Bangor as our new vice president. Barbara gave a short testimony and thanked the ladies for their prayers during her husband Victor's recent illness. As usual, the choir excelled themselves under the leadership of Mrs. Betty Greer as they sang "God of Grace." Reverend Paul Dowling, chairman of the union, brought greetings and challenged us regarding the need of the hour. We are to be men and women of God. After the singing of another hymn, Beth introduced the guest speaker, Mrs. Gail Curry. We were greatly blessed as Mrs. Curry spoke from Isaiah 40 and brought to our attention four main points. 1. The weariness that we can feel. 2. The strength that we can enjoy. 3. The means that we must employ. And 4. The result that we can experience. After a closing hymn and prayer, we enjoyed a lovely supper.
Past Chairman's Review. Mr. Trevor Crothers, who was the Chairman of the Congregational Union of Ireland for the year 2009 to 2010, recalled some of the significant events of his term of office. As I look back over my year in office, I can truly say with the words of Samuel, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I had the joyous responsibility of conducting 3 induction services, the Reverend Paul Bradley in Strade, the Reverend Jim Lyons at Sparmount, Knockbracken, and the Reverend Stephen Hanna in Lisburn. I also had the privilege of conducting the ordination service in Albert Bridge for David English, a young man from my home church. I also took part and brought greetings from the executive to Erin West and Ballycraigie at the opening of their new church halls. I was delighted to respond to invitations to speak at 10 of our churches on the Lord's Day. I pray that you were encouraged and challenged from God's word as much as I was as I sought the Lord for a message for each congregation. Thanks to Abbot's Cross for inviting Elsie and me to join them at their annual church social, where we enjoyed an excellent night of praise and testimony. It was a thrill to go to India, with the team of men from the Ballinhinch Church to participate in the centenary celebrations of Christianity in Manipur. During this time, we had the great joy of being present at Hina Singson's induction service at the launch of his commentary from Lydia Book Ministries on the Book of Numbers. Pray much for this ongoing work. I found it a challenge to speak in some of their local churches through our interpreter, Robert. And it was awesome at the last meeting to bring greetings from our Union of Churches in Ireland to a company of some 7,000 people. Thanks to all our ministers and church representatives for their attendance and participation in our executive meetings, and to Lisburn Church for hosting and hospitality at these meetings. In closing, may I thank you all for your prayers and support during my year of office.
Children's Page, The School Bag, Another Story for Boys and Girls by Mrs. Hager. What is your school bag like? Some people keep theirs very tidy. Others use theirs as a football. Some school bags have only school stuff in them, but others are crammed full of interesting things that have nothing to do with school. In most people's school bag, there is a pencil case, and in it, there is sure to be a rubber. That is what you use when you do something wrong in your schoolwork. You use it to make the mistake disappear, and you have to be careful not to rub a hole in the page. Rubbers are also called erasers, come in all shapes and sizes, but they are all for the same purpose. They get rid of the mistakes. As we live each day, we all do wrong things, and those things are a bigger problem than a mistake in maths or a slip up in spelling. God is displeased by the wrong we do. That is a huge problem. In the Bible, we read that there is one way for all the wrong to be erased. These words are in the Bible: repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Jesus died for our sins, and that is why God will wipe out all our wrongdoing when we turn to Him. Everyone has a pencil in their school bag, at least for the first few days of term. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a pencil that would do your work all by itself? That would save you a lot of bother. Sadly, pencils don't come like that. They are useful only when we use them. We're a bit like a pencil. We are useful in God's kingdom only when God uses us. Just as no pencil will jump up and do your maths, so on your own you cannot do the things you read in the Bible unless God takes you in His hand and uses you. That is exactly what He wants to do. Paul discovered that, and he wrote, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 13. There are probably several books in your school bag: a reading book, a library book, a maths book, or a science book. Books make your school bag very heavy. You have to be careful not to lose or spoil your books, for they're important. There is only one book that is more important than any book you use in school. It is more important than any book in the library, and I'm sure you have it. It's the Bible. Other books are full of the words of clever people, and they are often interesting and helpful, even funny. The Bible is full of God's words. He used men to write them, but the words in the Bible are all from God. They are breathed out by God, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Books are for reading, and God gave us the Bible so that we would read it and understand what He is saying to us. Some people take a lunch to school. What are your favourites for lunch? It is very disappointing if you forget your lunch. It is so hard to work if you are hungry. Perhaps your mum packs healthy food into your lunchbox and explains that you need good food in order to grow strong. That is something that every Christian should remember. If we are going to be strong in our faith, we must have food. We must take in God's word. It is important to have some every day, and also to make an effort to listen to it being taught in church. Have a look in your school bag and see if you have a rubber, a pencil, a book, and a lunchbox, and remember what each one teaches us about God's ways.
News from the churches. Abbott's Cross, currently vacant. At a special church business meeting in June, the church gave a call to Pastor Trevor Gerlanders, and he graciously accepted. It was a blessing to see how God was moving in the church. Pastor Gerlanders, formerly of Larne Mission Hall, will be unable to take up the pastorate in the church until January 2011 due to other commitments. We continue to remember the other churches in the Union that are still vacant. We were delighted when one of our members, Reverend Jim Moore, took on the role of chairman-elect. Reverend Moore will bring a wealth of experience to the position, and we are praying for him as he prepares to take up this office next May. We are looking forward to our annual missionary convention, which takes place from the 19th to 22nd of September, with the Reverend Tom Shaw as the main speaker.
On now to Ballinahinch, where the minister is the Reverend George Spears. They have a website, which is ballinahinchcongregational.com. The Reverend Stephen Hanna preached for the last time as Assistant Minister at Ballinahinch Congregational Church on Sunday, 25th of April. During the morning service, he spoke on 1 Peter 3 and verse 18 to a full church. He examined how the death of Christ was unique and challenged the congregation that the gospel demands a response. In the evening service, the Reverend Hanna was also the preacher, this time taking as his text 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, and urging those who are saved to continue in the Christian life. An exceptionally large crowd gathered to say goodbye to a very popular and hard-working minister. Among the congregation were members of Lisburn Congregational Church, where the Reverend Hanna will soon take up the post of minister. Following the service, the Reverend George Spears made a speech noting that the Reverend Hanna was a faithful pastor, an effective evangelist, an able preacher and Bible teacher, and a gifted children's and youth worker. The Reverend Hanna thanked the Reverend and Mrs. Spears for all their help and said that he would look back on his time at Ballinahinch with fondness. A presentation was made to the Reverend Hanna in recognition of his work at Ballinahinch. Miss Audrey Anderson, who provided accommodation for Stephen during his time, was presented with flowers. Sam Dentzer, the secretary of Lisburn, spoke about how the church was looking forward to the Reverend Hanna joining them. Supper was served at the close of this poignant service.
Bangor. The Reverend Neil writes, I am glad to report that I am now back to full-time duties. Thank you for all your prayers. Recently, we had two funerals in the church. The first was that of Mrs. Clara Watson, a long-time supporter of the church, who had reached the advanced age of 97 and had been a believer from her youth. More recently, Mrs. Michelle Kerr was called home, aged just 36. Michelle came to trust the Saviour shortly before her death and leaves to mourn her passing a young family and wider family circle and friends. Our consolation in the sadness is that they are with Christ, which is far better. We were able to hold only one of our two planned open-air services at the dedicated open-air site at the Picky, owing to inclement weather. But we do thank God for those who did hear the gospel at that service through song, testimony and the preaching of the word, as well as distribution of Christian literature. At time of writing, our holiday Bible club is taking place, and we have been encouraged by the attendances and trust as the boys and girls hear the gospel that many might trust in the Saviour.
Craiga, currently vacant. Over the summer months we followed a series of messages, Walking with Jesus, at our Sunday services. Most of our folks would speak of the blessings received from the Lord from our various visiting speakers. Once again we enjoyed fellowship with St Andrew's Presbyterian Church for our Sunday evenings. The congregations know each other well and enjoy fellowship together. Our summer Bible studies followed a series on the parables of Jesus and were well attended. It was good to have some new faces volunteering as leaders of the meetings or of a study group. This year we also ran a program called Discovery for folks new to group Bible studies, but this was not well supported. In the coming session, our Bible studies will be in the area of holiness, set apart for God. Four of our adult members were engaged in local children's missions in Port Ballantrae and Raphoe, and came back with encouraging stories of blessing to both the children being ministered to and to their own souls. We have not had a tradition of many of our teenagers going on such missions, but this would be an ambition for the future. In this new session, our church anniversary service will be conducted by Professor Drew Gibson. It will also be the occasion for the members to see some of the renovation work which has been undertaken, resulting from a legacy of the late Teddy Regan. It has been well documented that church members today are less faithful and competent in Bible reading. Recent research has indicated that even church leaders are unable to use the Bible to refute error. The main agencies involved with promoting the Bible are promoting a program called Bible Fresh to try to redress the situation and draw people back to reading the Bible and living it out. Valerie Murphy, who heads up Precept Ministries, will launch Bible Fresh early in the new session. We look forward to the new session of Work for the Lord beginning in September. While the largest part of our midweek program is devoted to children's organizations with some adult group, however, a major challenge to us is to avoid becoming involved in just maintaining our weekly program in the midst of a district where very few attend church and are far from God. The deacons have already been considering how we can serve and impact our adult community for Christ and his gospel. We know we need to be revived with concern for our neighbours as a priority, and to seek to find God where he is working and join him there.
Donaghy Church, where the minister is the Reverend Nigel Kissick. Their web address is Donaghy Church, DonaghyChurch, all one word, .com. The past few months have been busy ones here at Donaghy, and we continue to be encouraged and challenged by our pastor's faithful ministry. In April, we had our missionary weekend. This began with the Faith Mission Rally on Friday, followed by Every Home Crusade on Saturday evening. On Sunday morning, the Reverend Tom McKendry gave a presentation of European Christian missions work in Romania, and on Sunday evening, Storos Foundation gave an outline of their work at Balliards. On the 4th of July, Keith Lindsay, the coordinator of ACRI International, spoke at the evening service on ACRI's work in Portugal. Also at this service, Jeffrey Ferguson spoke on his trip to Portugal with ACRI in May to help with the outreach at Fatima, which this year attracted record crowds due to the visit of Pope Benedict. The group distributed Gospels of John and bottles of water with gospel verses attached. Our annual church outing was held on the 5th of June. This included shopping in Banbridge, tea at the house of Vic Rim, and a visit to the Every Home Crusade printing factory, as well as an evening meal. Everyone had an enjoyable day. June saw the end of our various young people's programs. The Youth Focus finished with an outing to the Jet Centre. Sunday School finished on the 20th of June with our annual Children's Day service, when the boys and girls from the Sunday School presented a programme of singing, recitations and musical items. We were pleased to have Glenn Charlton, home from Brazil, as our speaker for this. Glenn also spoke in the morning of Sunday the 18th of July about his work with CPC in Brazil. This was followed up by an informal question and answer session and a time of fellowship at the midweek meeting on the 21st of July. As Glenn and Prisca prepare to return to Brazil with their three boys, as a church we wish them every blessing. Early in June we also had a service of believers' baptism. Two members of our congregation, Jeffrey Ferguson and Sharon Kelso, were baptized. Jeffrey and Sharon gave their testimonies at this meeting, which was well attended by family and friends. 9th of July saw the start of a new venture for Donaghy, Donaghy Youth Fellowship, which is for young teenagers within the church. This began with a barbecue at Port Stewart, followed by a walk along the promenade. It is planned that this group will meet twice a month, starting in September, and that this will encourage our young people in their Christian lives. At the time of writing, we are looking forward to the Holiday Bible Club, which runs from the 2nd to the 6th of August. This is always very well attended, with up to 100 children most nights, and we are looking to the Lord for blessing this year. We finished the week with a barbecue for family members and friends, and this is a valuable outreach, as many who attend have no church allegiance at all.
Lorne, presently vacant. Let us begin this article by thanking Almighty God for his mercy, grace and goodness that he has bestowed upon us. in the church here in Larne. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136. On Saturday evening, the 22nd of May, the Norman Fox Missionary Cause presented an evening of praise in the church. The special offering on the night was for the work in Romania. The amount given to the Reverend Fox was £2,000. Our Sunday school trip was on Saturday the 29th of May to W5 in Belfast. A good day was had by children and adults. The following Sunday morning, we had our Children's Day service, which was very successful. The speaker on the day was Geoffrey Kennedy from Ballycraigie Church. Two of the older girls, Rachel and Zoe, carried a model of the tabernacle around the church. The children had been building this model in Sunday school and would now have a fair knowledge of the events that happened during the wilderness wanderings. I would take this opportunity to thank all parents for sending their children to Sunday school, but also to remind them of the words of the Reverend Thompson, who was our minister in the 1960s. In an article in the Larne Times, he said, "A lot of parents are not taking an interest in their children in the spiritual sense, as they should. Parents should bring, and not send, their children to church. The church is a family and has a place for every member." The hymn writer penned the words, "Alive in him, my living head." The church in Larne is very much alive, and with more people applying for membership, we look forward to God's continued blessing in the days that lie ahead. We had the pleasure of welcoming Aidan and Pamela into membership in July. Just before the summer break, we noticed an increase at our midweek meetings and would hope to see this continuing in the autumn. We would also remind the ladies of the church that the Ladies' Guild meets on Wednesday nights and that new members will be made very welcome. As we continue on this special year in our church's history, we pray that God will soon bring the man of his choice to be our new minister, that he will increase our membership as he has been doing, and that our Sunday school will also continue to increase in numbers. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever.
Lisburn, with the Reverend Stephen Hanna. The church was filled to capacity on Thursday the 6th of May for the induction service of our new minister, Reverend Stephen Hanna. We give thanks to God for answered prayer. The service was conducted by Mr. Trevor Crothers. After the opening hymn, "Praise Him, Praise Him," Mr. George McBride brought the meeting before the Lord in prayer. Reverend George Beers from Ballinahinch Church read from Hebrews, after which the choir sang, "Father of Mercies." Statements were read by Mr. Sam Dempster on behalf of the church, Mr. Trevor Crothers on behalf of the Union, Mr. George McCrubry on behalf of Ballinahinch Church, and the Reverend Stephen Hanna, the minister-elect. Mr. Trevor Crothers performed the act of induction, after which the induction prayer was offered by the Reverend Tom Boyle. Reverend Hanna was then given the right hand of fellowship by the deacons of the church. The congregational hymn, "My Heart is Filled," was followed with a solo by Miss Dawn Fryer. Reverend George Beers preached from Hebrews and reminded the congregation of, firstly, what the church expects from the minister, and secondly, what the minister expects from the congregation, and more importantly, what God expects from both the minister and the congregation. The church was brought to a close with the singing of "Where He May Lead Me," and then a prayer by the Reverend Nigel Kizik. The ladies of the church provided supper. Our Girls Brigade Company have had a very successful year. The junior section won the district level in the Duster Hockey Competition. Jessica Moorland from the senior section won the Northern Ireland Competition in designing a Christmas card, and these cards will be on sale for Christmas this year. Anna Miller was awarded second place. Well done to both these girls. Five girls were awarded the Brigader badges. Holly Neal is going off to America for a year to work with an international youth and school missionary organisation. We pray for her safety and protection, and God's richest blessing on her as she launches out in this new sphere of service for him. Well done also to the captain and officers of the company for a wonderful display. The Holiday Bible Club week in July had between 70 to 90 children attending each night. The theme this year was Mission Possible. This was followed up in August when all the homes of the children who attended were visited and given a gift, a tract and information about the different activities in the church. The annual missionary convention will be held from Thursday the 3rd of February to Monday the 7th of February 2011. please plan to attend.
Let's find out what's happening at Money More, where there's no minister present. Their website is moneymorechurch.com. The approach of the summer break brought to an end many of the church organisations, and a number of special events were arranged. The couples group went on an outing to the Crazy Golf in Antrim. Golf balls were flying everywhere, and unsurprisingly a few even ended up in the water. Afterwards they enjoyed a bite to eat together and a good night's crack. For their last meeting, the toddlers group went to Spring Hill for a teddy bear's picnic. There were games and refreshments for all who attended. The women's meeting had their annual shopping trip and an evening meal, a well-deserved break from cooking. The youth club, Livewire, went on a day trip to Kilkeel, where they had great fun participating in an It's a Knockout-style competition and feasting on a hearty barbecue after all the activities. Children's Day saw the Sunday school children reciting poems, singing and reading from God's Word. Angela McKee brought the message, Angela McKee from CEF, brought the message to a captive audience of parents and children alike. The Sunday school also had their annual outing to the North Coast with games and a barbecue in Port Stewart Strand, and then a free afternoon to spend in Portrush. The Holiday Bible Club had a good number of children in attendance. Timothy Conde from the Faith Mission brought the message each evening. At the beginning of June, we had a missionary convention which was very capably organised by the Reverend Fox, who has been with us throughout the vacancy and has now agreed to take on the role as our minister on a permanent basis. The Reverend Fox had organised a number of special speakers and singers for the convention. It was a privilege to have Mr. Victor Maxwell and Dr. Helen Rosevear speaking at the meetings, and there was a great sense of the Lord's presence at these meetings. The singers at the meetings included Paul Irwin, the Brown Family, Homeward Bound Choir, Mr. Gordon Quinn, and Mrs. Amy Roberts. Missionary reports were given by Mr. Tom Rice of the Distribution of Hebrew Scriptures, Mr. Stephen Williamson of OMS, Pastor Elias Brazil, and Mr. Michael Wilson from Release International. In total, 18 missionary societies took part. They had stands in the church hall, and people were able to walk around and talk to the representatives about their work. It was a real opportunity to find out more about what God is doing in different parts of the world.
Spamount, Reverend Jim Lyons. The Reverend Jim Lyons and his family have been with us for over a year now, and it has been a year of real encouragement. Our report this quarter could be summed up in two words: pressing on. With God's help, we have done this in a number of ways. Firstly, P, patience in prayer. On the 22nd of May, we held a day of continuous prayer when members and friends committed themselves to at least a 10-minute slot praying for the work of the church and its individual organisations. The success of this day cannot be measured, but we wait expectantly for answers and are encouraged by the response of those involved. R for renewal. Our Wednesday evening Bible studies have majored on individual and corporate renewal through the example of the Philippian believers and obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. An increase in the attendance at the prayer meeting and Sunday services has continued. E for evangelism. We use every opportunity to distribute leaflets and invitations to those who live in the vicinity of the church. The annual Holiday Bible Club was held from the 28th of June to the 2nd of July. Numbers were less than previous years, but the children were attentive and interested. On Sunday the 4th of July, the leaders held a prize-giving service. Parents and children were invited to attend, and we were delighted with the response. The team, led by Mrs. Hilda Lyons, were very encouraged. S for separation. The Reverend P. Campbell visited us on the morning of the 21st of March. He reminded us that we must beware of thinking how the world thinks, beware of valuing what the world values, and beware of following where the world leads. S. Spirit-filled. On Pentecost Sunday, the Reverend Lyons spoke on the work of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life and the relevance of his indwelling to our service for Christ. I. For involvement. Increasingly, our YPF members are becoming involved in the ministry of the church. While Hilda Lyons had a break from the tales of Charlie and Red, Ben Mawall from the YPF told the story of Hudson Taylor to the children during the morning service. On Children's Day, the children sang some choruses and gave us facts about the Bible. Serena Smart recited the books of the Old Testament from memory, and Hannah Little played the piano during the offering, and both Sunday school and Bible class members took part. M for nurture. We continue to feed upon the Word and have been blessed not only through our pastor's ministry, but by the ministry of others who have visited us. In June, we had a visit from a group who told of the urgent need to supply Bibles to the persecuted church throughout the world. G. God. God has been working in the church, and to Him we give the glory. Our fellowship has grown closer, and this was demonstrated on a glorious outing we had together on the 19th of June. Our visit to the Mourns was crowned with unending sunshine, stunning scenery, good food, and enhanced fellowship, one of those golden days of perfection forever remembered and cherished. We praise Him too for opening the way for our missionaries. Rosemary and David Edwards, CEF Regional Directors, Central Ireland, to move from Dublin to a base nearer their work in Central Ireland. David reports great encouragement and challenge. Wonderful things are happening. On. Magazine space dictates we use this word as a whole rather than using a point for each letter. We pray that we may continue to press on for Him, always remembering that the battle belongs to the Lord.
Strayed with the Reverend Paul Bradley. The first Saturday in May saw a bus full of ladies leaving Strayed for their annual outing. The first stop was Belfast Castle, then on to the Linen Green in Dungannon for lunch and shopping. Following a short stop at the Oxford Island Discovery Centre, it was on to the Civic Centre in Craigavon for tea. An enjoyable day was had by all. Later in the month, Paul and Jackie went to South Africa for 3 weeks to visit Paul's family. While they were away, it was good to renew fellowship with some of the speakers who had occupied the pulpit during our vacancy. On their return, they were both involved in our Youth Sunday, with Jackie speaking in the morning and Paul in the evening. We also enjoyed various musical items and readings from many of the children and young people in our fellowship. We praise God for the talent He has given so many of our young ones. The Sunday school trip this year travelled to Lisburn, where they went swimming and shopping and used the facilities of the Lisburn Church for lunch and to play games. The Open Door Youth Club held their weekend in the youth hostel at White Park Bay. The weather was favourable for them, and some brave people even ventured into the Atlantic. July saw the beginning of various people from the fellowship going off to help out with different summer outreach events. One group went to Kirkpatrick to witness the thousands of Roman Catholics as they made their annual pilgrimage up this mountain on the last Sunday in July, while two of our young girls headed to the jungles of Peru with Unevangelised Fields Mission. We want to praise God for His help and enabling in these various outreaches, and look to Him to work on in the lives of the boys and girls, men and women who were spoken to at this time.
Here are two reports from the Congregational Home Mission. Firstly, the summer outreach to Rafoe from the 11th to the 17th of July. The Rafoe Congregational Union Home Mission outreach was conducted once again this year with the Reverend Mervyn Carter and his wife, Kathy, leading the programme. On arrival, representatives from Rafoe, Carrickfergus and Strayed Congregational Churches found that everything had been prepared for the week's outreach. Owing to the number of folk at the outreach, two teams were formed, effectively doubling the effort for the week. The week's activities were as follows. 1. The Holiday Bible Clubs morning and evening at Marble Hill, close to Creeslough, and Meadow Hill at Rafoe, and Beechwood and Castle Grove Estates. Secondly, door-to-door work on Monday with invitations to the Holiday Bible Clubs. 3. Street evangelism in Letterkenny on Tuesday afternoon. Each morning, everyone gathered for morning devotions led by a different person from the Rafoe team. It was an opportunity to focus hearts and minds on the task at hand and to pray together as well. Relevant issues were discussed by all. Overall, there was a positive response in all the areas, the teams finding themselves well accepted. It seemed that areas which previously were not welcoming to the presence of folk from Rafoe Church showed a marked improvement. In particular, Beechwood and Castle Grove Estates were very accepting of the church folk compared with previous years. The week's activities were rounded off on Friday night with a family barbecue. The response from parents and family members was encouraging, with a number staying for the entire evening through to the closing epilogue for a gospel presentation. A badminton competition ran throughout the week, in between times. This proved great crack and was enjoyed by everyone. The court was rarely unoccupied. This light-hearted side to the week went some way to demonstrating how well everyone integrated, and we all enjoyed a week of great unity. Raffoe Congregational were great hosts, providing accommodation and meals for everyone throughout the week. A big thank you to you, in particular, for the lovely meals provided.
Summer outreach to Kildare and Wicklow. At 2:30 p.m. on Saturday the 24th of July, two minibuses, four cars and one heavily laden trailer left Ballycraigie Church for a week of outreach in counties Kildare and Wicklow. Led by Henry and Beth Montgomery, the 26-strong team felt a mixture of excitement and apprehension at the thought of the busy week that lay ahead. Sunday morning was spent at the Congregational Church in Dublin, where the team took part in the meeting with singing and testimony, and Andrew Morton brought a message from Psalm 1. The afternoon was spent giving out invitations in the five areas where we were planning to hold five-day clubs during the week. The evening was spent in Newbridge Bible Fellowship Church, where again there was singing and testimony and a word of challenge based on the faith of Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14. Newbridge. The Newbridge Church has a holiday Bible club every year called Summerland. It runs from 10 a.m. to 12:30 every day and includes choruses, memory verses, quizzes and Bible lessons, along with crafts and games. There was an Egyptian theme this year, with the children learning about the life of Joseph. There were even visits from Daisy, Kevin and Bubba, the puppets, and from the intrepid explorer Indiana Bones. On Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday evenings there was a coffee bar type outreach to try and encourage slightly older children to attend. There was also soccer coaching for the older boys. Each evening ended with a gospel epilogue. On Friday night there was a family fun night and barbecue which was well attended by both children and parents. Bolting Glass. It is hard to believe that within 3 hours' drive from Belfast there is a town in need of pioneer missionary work. Nearly 2,000 people live in Bolting Glass with no evangelical church and no one to tell them face to face that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. However, a while ago a handful of Christians from the wider area contacted the home mission team to ask if we could help them run a gospel mission from the Sunday to Wednesday nights, which the team gladly did. At the same time, for 4 nights, youngsters were encouraged to come along for soccer coaching at the local pitches, where they were also presented with the gospel. 5 day clubs. 5 clubs were held this year, 1 in the morning at Lakeside in Newbridge, and 4 in the afternoons, 2 in Bolting Glass and 2 in Dunlavin. These were probably both the most challenging and the most rewarding times of the whole week. Most of the children are not used to sitting in meetings and can be quite restless. They often come and go as they please, especially if they hear the bells of the ice cream van. They feel quite free to bring dogs, frogs and guinea pigs to the clubs and think nothing of setting one of their pets on your lap. They ask questions at the most awkward times and wonder why we all talk with such funny accents. Many come from homes and situations that are very difficult. Yet they are children who created a deep yearning in our hearts for them to come to know the God who made them and who loves them so much. It was impossible not to be moved by their plight and to weep over the darkness that they are being raised in. So when they answer a question or grasp a truth or say a memory verse, it becomes so significant to the team, as we know that unless something changes this week is all the gospel they are going to hear for yet another year. Was it worth it? The week was busy and very tiring, and by the end of it, everyone on the team was utterly exhausted. Yet we all sensed that God was at work. We were thrilled to hear 3 youngsters telling us that they had become Christians, and we rejoiced with them. But something more was happening. Those who had been in previous teams sensed a new openness to the gospel and a new grasping of the truth of the Word of God. Young minds and hearts that struggled in previous years to grasp even the most basic of Christian teaching suddenly seemed to have their understanding opened. This was best illustrated by the lad who stood up in the middle of being taught John 14 verse 6 as a memory verse and shouted, "Oh, I get it. Jesus is the way." A challenge for us all. There is an open door to present the gospel in the south of Ireland. Hundreds of thousands of men, women, boys and girls are sitting in darkness, waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus, waiting for those who will come and through words and acts demonstrate the love of God in Christ, waiting for those who through prayer and faith will see strongholds torn down and the kingdom of God established. The many small Christian fellowships are longing for help and encouragement as they seek to grow and reach out to their communities. The call from heaven is, who will go for us? Who among the Congregational Union of Ireland will answer, "Here I am, Lord, send me"?
Revival fires burn on in Ethiopia. Sudan Interior missionaries first landed in Ethiopia in 1928, but had to be evacuated after the Italian invasion of 1936, leaving behind a little band of 48 baptized believers in an area of South Ethiopia. They were uneducated men and women who had only the Gospel of Mark in their own language. Would they survive on their own? However, in 1942, the missionaries returned to find 10,000 believers. Persecution, pain and imprisonment were common in those days, but the more severe the persecution became, the more rapidly the young church grew until by July 1945, there were 15,000 baptized believers in that same area. Mahari Koroma is now 85 years of age, having started to preach in 1942. His story is a catalogue of imprisonment and suffering for the sake of the gospel. He tells about one of his many prison experiences after he had been dragged through the streets, beaten with sticks, pushed and kicked. His legs were chained closely together so that he could not walk, and he was chained to a murderer who was in the same condition. The room into which he had been thrown was filthy and crawling with vermin. There were so many fleas that the ground was alive. The back of his neck ached and his back was bruised and sore. There wasn't a single place on his body that had escaped their sticks. The rain had drenched his clothes so that his whole body was chilled to the bone. He didn't have a blanket to wrap himself in, so he lay on the ground, shivering violently with the cold. But God sent an angel, a policeman who was amazingly sympathetic. He brought a heavy army overcoat which he pushed through the bars. Mahari says, "I knew it could only be his own coat. I wrapped myself up in it, lay down in the dust again, and soon fell fast asleep." He was happy to suffer like this for the Lord. In 1974, heralded the revolution for the first couple of years, the people enjoyed a new freedom, but then atheistic Marxist propaganda began to spread. 735 churches were shut down. Christians had stood firm under persecution, but now, even to conduct a Christian funeral resulted in imprisonment. Evangelists received no salaries, but some continued to preach, taking huge risks in spite of the consequences. Although there was much imprisonment and suffering for the believers, God met every need and protected his church. By the early 1980s, some believers took out their Bibles, which they had hidden, reopened their churches, and started to sing and pray again. The authorities turned a blind eye to this, so that very gradually the evangelical community began to creep back to normality. In May 1991, the government was overthrown and a new era began. Suddenly, believers were enjoying a religious freedom they had never before experienced. Today, the Ethiopian Word of Life Church is growing at a phenomenal rate. In a recent survey, it was reckoned there were almost 6 million members. The present estimate is that there are about 7,000 churches in the denomination, and the number is growing. In one town of some 100,000 people, 90% attend church on Sunday. When the area conference was held in South Ethiopia earlier this year, attendances grew from 7,000 at the opening meeting to 40,000 on the Saturday, and many more thousands on Sunday was the final day. The meeting on Sunday started at 8 a.m. and finished at 4 p.m. non-stop. The people just kept coming all day. Some had walked for many hours. Others came part of the way by public transport, but all came to drink in the Word of God. There was little shelter from the sun or rain, just canvas strips slung over wooden poles. One day it rained heavily during the meeting, but no one left. Everyone continued to sit on the damp ground to listen to the preaching. There were no seats. The early fathers of the work sang at the final meeting. The line on their faces spoke clearly of the hardships and persecution they had been through. All were deeply moved. 85 to 90% of the congregations are under 35 years of age. Sunday school is convened on Saturday at 7:30 in the morning. Attendance was 900 at the first church visited and 1,400 at the next. All the children had walked over rough terrain and were happy to sit on backless forms, listening to the Bible story without visuals of any kind. The coordinator of the youth work walks up to 6 hours to reach some of his meetings. Ethiopia is one of the poorest and most food insecure countries of the world. More than 45% live below the poverty line. Poor, yet making many rich, from 2 Corinthians, comes to mind when watching the Ethiopian church at work. As in the early church, the word of God is increasing and the number of disciples is being greatly multiplied. This is certainly a land of revival. About 1 million a year have been seeking the Lord over the past 20 years. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. In the last edition of the magazine, we asked for any unused visuals. We thank you for the wonderful response, and we just want to let you know that the visuals are now on their way. Thank you.
Now we bring you a book review, Gentle Rain on Tender Grass by Sharon James, published by Evangelical Press. This includes daily readings for 123 days. And there's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 2 and 3. May my teachings drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass. The title of this book comes from part of Moses' farewell message to the people of Israel, in which he imparts God's message to them in song. For me, the similes of morning dew and gentle rain conjure up an image of the stillness and quiet which can be experienced in personal, dedicated time spent with the Lord. These studies, designed as daily devotions, take us through the first 5 books of the Bible, which are foundational to understanding the story of salvation as taught in the rest of the Bible. All the major biblical themes are highlighted and presented in a well-focused, uncomplicated style. Other key features include a concluding verse of Scripture from a different part of the Bible to emphasize the truth of the particular passage, a poem or hymn and suggestions for prayer to help deepen our spiritual response still further. The author has managed to combine biblical teaching and devotional reading into a book which is very intelligible and stimulates a desire for Bible reading and prayer. As grass needs regular rainfall, so we need to be reading and meditating on the Word of God daily. This book has much to commend it as the author takes us through the story of creation, the Exodus, and the journey of God's people into the Promised Land.
We just want to advise you of special anniversary meetings which are going to be held in White Abbey Congregational Church. They're celebrating 125 years. And for the month of September on Sundays, the Reverend MP Dowling will be speaking. And then there will be special services on Tuesday the 28th of September and Wednesday the 29th, where the Reverend Dr. Robert Beckett will minister the word.
Annual Faith Mission Bible College Rally will take place on Monday the 27th of September at 8 p.m. in Lisburn Congregational Church Hall, with the guest speaker being the Reverend Tom Shaw. Come and hear Andrew and Grace Morton from Ballycraigie Church to tell about their call to prepare for God's work at the Faith Mission College. Everyone is welcome.
News, news, news. The Congregational Union of Ireland has launched its own website. It's the site for everyone. Any suggestions will be gratefully received. Find them at www.cufi.com. cufi.com. Or you can access the Congregationalist magazine, either listen to it or read it, from the Union site above and also the Ballymena Church website, www.ballymenacongregational.com. or from our own dedicated magazine website, www.thecongregationalist.com.
The Annual Congregational Youth Rally. This year's May Rally was one of the best attended events in recent Congregational Youth history, and we want to thank all of you who came along. We hope you had a great night. The highlights included news of mission opportunities with UBM and the Congregational Home Mission, and a great message from Colossians by Steve McCready.
Catherine writes again, "In today's world, the God of the Bible is simply that, a God found between old leather covers, relevant only as ancient history. God knows your name," explodes that myth. This is a book that reveals the God of the Bible as intimately involved in the lives of individuals. It parallels the stories of real people from the Bible narrative with contemporaries of today. Since sin entered our world, rejection, heartache and despair have dogged humanity, yet, always, the God who made us has declared his love for us and his willingness to intervene on our behalf, even in the darkest of our days. Each of the stories in the book opens up the difficult world of a particular person and introduces us to the amazing grace of a loving God in their lives. From the loveless Hagar of the Bible to the abused Donna of Dublin, from the hopeless leper of the Gospel of Mark to the outcast Dalit of Hyderabad, and many more, the reader will see that our God is not bound by literature or history, but that he is still changing lives today, and he knows each of us by name. The book God Knows Your Name by Catherine Campbell is published by Monarch and will be available in bookshops from the 6th of November this year.
That is the end of the recording of The Congregationalist. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the magazine and we look forward to sharing the next edition in due course. So it's goodbye from all the team. May God bless you and your family in the days that lie ahead.